God will orchestrate things to fulfill his plan for our lives when we submit our life and plans to him.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, in his message, The Big Reveal, Part 1, Pastor Brian Grant showed how the ancient prophecies all came together in the miracle of the ages, the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. His message this week is also about prophecy, but these prophecies are still future. This same Jesus is coming again. You will need to keep your Bibles at hand, but I promise you, Pastor Grant's message about the end times will keep you on the edge of your seats. Here is Pastor Grant with The Big Reveal, Part 2.
I can hardly imagine, though. Can we be real? Just put yourself in Joseph's boat. Mary was pregnant, and he knew he had not touched her. Guys, if you were Joseph, what would you have assumed? Come on now. I hear at least one brother agreeing with me by his laughter. Amen? Come on now. Are you going by her story?
No.
Oh, nobody has touched me, you know. What? Then what's going on here? No man has touched you. Joseph was not a happy camper and was considering his options. And Jewish law actually gave him two options, in case you didn't realize this. The Jewish law said, if your betrothed wife, we have the marriage ceremony has happened and she's pregnant, you have two options. You can have her stoned to death. Don't say that. We didn't make that up. It's in the Old Testament, okay? Under Old Testament law, you realize under Old Testament law, the man was king. A woman had to walk behind the man. Aren't you glad that in Jesus there's a level playing field? We're all one in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Man had to walk a few paces behind. Could do whatever he jolly well wanted. He could stone her to death. I wonder if they stoned him to death. The guy who did it. Anyway, that's another message. He could have her either stoned to death or sent to a place far, far, far away. And Joseph had just decided he was going to send her far, far away when he was visited by the angel Gabriel. And look what Gabriel said to him in Matthew 1, verse 19. The angel Gabriel said, Joseph, her husband, was his verses, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, to send her far away. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? Sins. The angel told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife because she had experienced the miracle of the ages. She had gotten pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. God had fulfilled the promise he made over 700 years earlier that a virgin would conceive and deliver a son. God always fulfills his promises. Amen. So, church, why was he to be called Jesus? Anybody can help me with that? Why was he to be called Jesus according to the text? For what? He will save his people from their sins. I wonder if I have any testimonies in here today of people who can say, is there any testimonies in the house of those who can say, Jesus saved me from sin? Amen. Praise God, Jesus saved me. In my case, I was just a little 9-year-old boy. You know, he saves kids. He saves young people. He saves adults. Hallelujah. But Jesus saved me from my sin. And he can save you today if you will open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The big reveal. The first thing, God revealed that Jesus would be conceived by a virgin. The second big reveal, God revealed that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And just to make sure you don't think I'm making up all of this stuff, turn to the book of Micah. Turn to the book of Micah. And you may need, some of you who are not familiar with your Bible, you better start buying those with a little tab so you can find it easier. Micah chapter 5, because we actually don't like you bring your Bibles, you know. Don't be afraid to bring your, you know, most churches that don't bother with a Bible, but don't be afraid to bring your Bible to GCA, because the preachers here, we want to make sure you check us out, because we don't want to be making it up as we go along. Amen. You need to check us out to make sure it's in your Bible too. Lest I have a funny Bible. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Here's what it says. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are what? Little. Among the thousands of other places, other cities and towns, there are thousands, but you're just a tiny little one. Put this down. This was 735 BC. In 735 BC, God inspired Micah to make this amazing prophecy. There are three important things God revealed in this prophecy that I don't want you to miss. Here's the first one that you may want to write down. Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Second, Jesus will one day rule Israel. And let me just give you, as I was preparing this message, it was supposed to be only a one and off. And then the Lord said, no, next week you're going to come back with the big reveal part two. Amen. Because there's a whole lot more we got to talk about. And next week we want to focus very heavily on the second coming of Christ. Things that the Bible has already told us about what's going to happen at the end of the world. You're going to hear all that. At his second coming, he will rule for 1,000 years on earth. The Bible has already told us that. Here's the third thing the Bible is pointing out. That Jesus always existed. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Psalm 90 verse 1 states, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, write this down, was not his beginning, but his incarnation. That's a nice big word. It was not his beginning, but his incarnation. What does that word mean, incarnation? That's when he took on the flesh of a human body. But why did God pick Bethlehem? Come on now. You ever thought about that? Why Bethlehem? The text just told you it's an insignificant town. It wasn't much of a town. Neither was Nazareth. And remember now, Mary got pregnant in Nazareth, right? She got pregnant in Nazareth. And Nazareth had such a low reputation. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 46, Nathanael asked this question. Some of you cannot remember what. Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Whoa. Whoa. You can put that in your context. I wouldn't want to suggest any place, because if you live there, you're going to say, what is he saying about my hometown? But this is what they felt about Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And here is Jesus. He's going to get a girl in Nazareth pregnant. The hick town. The place where nothing good can come from. And then she's going to be born in Bethlehem. No man's land. Isn't that how God works? You see, God is not looking for the big and important. You know, sometimes we think God needs. Sometimes it's so crazy when sometimes people want you to go and target somebody because of how intelligent or important they figure. You need to make sure you reach that one for Jesus. God does not need anybody, no matter how powerful or how much you've got. But the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. And every single one of us matter to him. No one matters more than the other. Your resume. You know, that's what keeps a lot of people unsaved, you know. They have such a good resume. They figure, oh, I don't need God. Here's the reality. God does not need us. But what a blessing that the God who does not need us loves us and went to such incredible cost to save us. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, it's time to stop fooling around and it's time to surrender to this Savior. Amen?
Amen.
So why did God pick Bethlehem? You know, God is clearly not impressed by wealth and social status. Amen?
Amen.
His free salvation is available to the rich and the poor. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 is a verse I want to just put on the screen for you. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that so no one can boast. No one will be able to walk around heaven bragging about what they did to get in. Amen? We can only get there by the grace of God. Jesus did it. Are you ready for heaven? Do you have a reservation for heaven? Is your name written in heaven? About 700 years earlier, God had declared that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But how would he pull that off? Mary was living in Nazareth, and there's no way that 9-month pregnant Mary would volunteer to go to Bethlehem on a 9-day donkey ride on rough and rocky terrain. You ever stop to think about that? You know, it wasn't like today when you got your Lexus or your smooth riding car. Are you with me? They didn't have no paved roads. And I understand not only was it rocky and would have taken about 9 days, but they say back then, lions and other dangerous animals roamed that area. Why in the world would Mary want to pick up her 9-month pregnant self to show up in Bethlehem? God's plans cannot fail. Whatever God says must come to pass. So God orchestrated the world's events so that Mary would end up in Bethlehem. Did you hear what I say? So look with me, for the skeptics, look at Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke, don't worry, I'm not going to be before you for long. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and I just want to read this passage that is so well known, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. It's all about taxes, okay? He was getting everybody registered so they would have to pay tax. Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because they were of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem for tax reasons. I hope that makes you feel better about paying taxes. But friends, here's the big takeaway I want you to write down. Put this down. God has a plan for each of us. And he will orchestrate things. Amen? God will orchestrate things to fulfill his plan for our lives when we submit our life and plans to him. Young people, I hope you're hearing me. God will orchestrate everything to fulfill His purpose and plan for your life. When you determine, God, I'm coming your way, I've decided to follow Jesus, I'm going to follow you, God, all the way. When you make that decision, God, the God who can orchestrate that Mary ends up in Bethlehem at the right time, can orchestrate your life to achieve His purpose in your life. The big issue is, are you going to submit your life to Him? Are you going to say to Him today, oh God, this Christmas 2023, I will surrender everything to You, the one who has big plans for me, so that You can work things out as You see fit. I trust You'll do that today. But first, God revealed that Jesus would be conceived by a virgin. Second, God revealed that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And third, and the most important of the three, God revealed, write this in your notes, God revealed that Jesus would be crucified to save us from sin. Psalm 22 was written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. You may not realize this. So this was written before the other two prophecies. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, Psalm was written. And God revealed through David the suffering Jesus would experience on the cross for our sins. And as we read this, I'd like you to realize that God is expressing in advance what Jesus would experience when He hung on the cross for our sin. Last night, as I lay in my bed, and I just reflected on what I had been studying, and just to remember these words, that these are the exact, some of them are the exact words that Jesus uttered on the cross. It became so clear that Jesus fully experienced what happened on the cross before He was even born. Don't miss that. God loves me. If you don't want to believe He loves you, that's okay with you. But I am believing today that God loves me, because listen, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, He already knew the excruciating pain He would experience on the cross. But He willingly came into the world, and He willingly went to the cross so that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. Listen to some of the words of the psalm as I read from Psalm 22. My God, why have You forsaken me? Did you remember those words in the New Testament, verse number 6? But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. You remember those words in the New Testament? But you let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Verse 12. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus had already lived out what would happen well over 1,000 years later on the cross. Listen, the crucifixion was no surprise. The crucifixion did not happen because wicked men decided to nail Jesus. The crucifixion happened because in the eternal plan of God, He had decreed and determined that He would send His Son into the world to eventually go to the cross of Calvary to die for your sin and for my sin, so that anyone who receives. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. I am so thankful that the God of glory loves me. Amen. He loves me so much that he sent Jesus at Christmas, and at Easter he sent him to the cross of Calvary. And I want to ask you, my friend, are you in love with this Jesus? The Jesus who loves you and will do anything for you. Do you love him? Have you received him into your heart? Is he your Savior? I want you to know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes. And today, this Christmas 2023, it is our prayer that you will receive Jesus, that you will come to Jesus and admit, oh God, I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. You came and you died for me. I'm excited about Christmas because the Son of God, the Savior has come. But thank God for what happened at Calvary. Are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Come on now. Sir, are you sure? Young lady, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Today's your day. You know, I hate traveling standby. You know why? Because when you travel standby, you're never sure if you're going to make it on the flight. So although, you know, the agent may say, Mr. Grant, if a seat opens up, I'll let you know. Every 15 or 20 minutes, I'll go back to the counter and I'll ask as sweetly as I can. I try to be as sweet as I can because I know I'm going to get a rough answer. So I try to be as sweet as I can. And I said, has any seats opened up? And she tries to be sweet since I was sweet. She said, Mr. Grant, I already told you if a seat opens up, I'll let you know. So I meekly go back to my seat. I sit down. But you know what happened? 15 or 20 more minutes. I can't resist it. I have to find out. I'm anxious. I don't want to miss this flight. So I meekly go back again. Hi. Has a seat opened up? Mr. Grant, for the 7th time. I've already told you. If a seat opens up, I'll let you know. You know, it's tough flying standby because you're not sure if you're going to make it. But sadly, there are people here who are standing, flying standby. There are people here flying standby. You're hoping to make it to heaven. If I were to take a survey, most people are hoping to make it to heaven, but they're not sure they have a reserved seat. I know that I have a reserved seat. Not because I'm better than anybody, but because at 9 years old, I consciously chose to say to God, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to you and asking you to come into my heart and cleanse me from all my sin. Have you done that yet? It's time to stop traveling to heaven's standby. It's time to get a reserve seat. And it is our prayer this Christmas 2023, there will be many who will get their reserved ticket to heaven by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.